In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, with the sudden death of Bishop T.C. de Mallory, there are many who are worried about the future of the SSPX because we are now down to just having two bishops in the SSPX. And I think this event of the death of one of our bishops is a good moment for us to consider three things. First of all, why the four bishops were consecrated in 1988 for the SSPX. Secondly, why there have not been any more bishops consecrated since then. And then thirdly, about the future and whether or not there will be more bishops consecrated. So first of all, you know that it was back in the summer of 1988 that Archbishop Lefebvre consecrated four bishops for the SSPX against the will of the Pope without apostolic mandate. And immediately after that, Pope John Paul II issued a document called Ecclesiae Dei Afflicta, in which he said that the Archbishop basically excommunicated himself by doing this act, and that this act was a schismatic act. For us, however, we saw it in a very different light. We thought, from our perspective, that the Archbishop had done a holy and a heroic thing by consecrating these bishops. And it was an act that was completely justified. And if you think about it, at the time of the consecrations, there were none of the so-called Ecclesiae Dei groups. The Fraternity of St. Peter didn't exist. The Institute of Christ the King didn't exist. So in other words, the SSPX was the only priestly fraternity in the whole world that was ordaining priests for the traditional mass and with a traditional formation. So there were no other bishops who were forming priests in the traditional priesthood. And meanwhile, I mean, as such, if the Archbishop had not consecrated these bishops, then there would be no bishops in the world who would be interested in ordaining traditional priests. Effectively, the ordination of traditional priests would have ceased with the death of Archbishop Lefebvre. Meanwhile, I think we would say that the Church has need of traditional Catholic priests. The sad state of the Church is that there were errors promulgated in the Second Vatican Council, especially with regards to religious liberty, ecumenism, and ecclesiality, and that these errors are mainstream in the Church. So, effectively, the priests who are formed in the seminaries today, they have false notions of religious liberty, false notions of ecumenism, false notions of ecclesiality that are against our Catholic faith. And so we need priests who are perfectly orthodox, who communicate to faithful the true Catholic faith. Meanwhile, as we know, the Novus Ordo Mass doesn't properly represent our Catholic faith. The Novus Ordo Mass has been the cause of the loss of many souls in the sense that it's not sufficiently nourishing for souls. The authentic expression of the Catholic faith was purposely dialed down in the new Mass in order to please those of non-Catholic religions. So the Church needs to have priests who hold on to the integral faith, and we need priests who say the Mass of all time that properly nourishes souls and gets them to heaven. And so it was for these reasons that the Archbishop took a step which he knew he would be condemned for and misunderstood for. On the day of those consecrations, June 30th, 1988, in his consecration sermon, he made clear that he was doing it for the love of the Church. It was an act that he was doing for the Church. He felt that it was his duty to do this for the Church. Here's one of the things he said during that sermon. "It seems to me, my dear brethren, that I am hearing the voices of all these popes since Gregory the 16th, Pius the 9th, Leo the 13th, St. Pius the 10th, Benedict the 15th, Pius the 11th, Pius the 12th, telling us, please, we beseech you, what are you going to do with our teachings, with our preaching, with the Catholic faith? Are you going to abandon it? Are you going to let it disappear from this earth? Please, please, continue to keep this treasure which we have given you. Do not abandon the faithful. Do not abandon the church. Continue the church. Indeed, since the council, what we have condemned in the past, the present Roman authorities have embraced and are professing. How is it possible? We have condemned them. Liberalism, communism, socialism, modernism, Zionism. All the errors which we have condemned are now professed, adopted, and supported by the authorities of the church. Is it possible? Unless you do something to continue this tradition of the church which we have given you, all of it shall disappear. Souls shall be lost. And I think now that we are 36 years after these consecrations of Archbishop Lefebvre, we are even able to see more clearly that what he said at that time is certainly true. That if he had not made bishops who were then ordaining traditional priests, then the traditional Catholic movement would have died. My dear faithful, if he hadn't done that act 36 years ago, this chapel would not exist. This chapel would not be here. I would not be a priest. Many other priests would not be priests. There would be no Fraternity of St. Peter. There would be no Institute of Christ the King. There would be no traditional movement to speak of if he had not done those consecrations. And so it's clear that those consecrations not only were justified, but were a beautiful and heroic act on the part of the Archbishop. So meanwhile, 36 years have passed, and there have not been any more bishops consecrated. We have these bishops, and we haven't been consecrating any more bishops for a long time. 36 years is a long time. It's over one-third of a century has passed, and no more. The SSPX has not consecrated any more bishops. Why not? Why not consecrate more bishops? Well, we have to first understand that the Archbishop wanted to consecrate a special type of bishop. Normally, when a bishop is consecrated, it's so that he can take over a diocese or be an auxiliary to a bishop in a diocese. This was not the type of bishop that Archbishop Lefebvre wanted to consecrate. He wanted to consecrate bishops who were specifically made for the administration of the sacraments of holy orders and confirmation. And he made it explicit that he was not wanting to create a parallel church. In other words, he was not pretending to be able to give these bishops jurisdiction, to give them ruling power. He understood as a bishop he had the power to give them the power of sanctifying, the power to communicate sacraments, but he did not have the power to give them the power of ruling and governing. That has to come directly from the Pope. And so he said, I'm not wanting to give them this power of jurisdiction. I'm not pretending to give them this power of jurisdiction. I'm consecrating them so that they can administer these sacraments, which only bishops can administer. So he consecrated them for the conferring of the sacraments, and since they were made for that purpose, they were made to rule over certain parts of the world for the traditional Catholic movement. But since he was consecrating them for that purpose, then as such, as long as they were able to fulfill that purpose, as long as they are able to administer these sacraments throughout the world, then you don't have to consecrate any more bishops. And that has been the case up to this point for these 36 years. The bishops that we have had have sufficed to administer the sacraments of holy orders and confirmation for our chapels throughout the world. But secondly, we have to understand that we haven't consecrated more bishops because we're not state of a contest. The SSPX is not a state of a contest organization. Archbishop Lefebvre was not state of a contest. And he fought against state of a contestism, state of a contest tendencies within the SSPX. And so there is a respect for the office of the Pope. And he understood that the consecrating bishops against the will of the Pope is a very serious action, and it's not to be done lightly. So you just don't do it for convenience's sake. You only do it if you have a very serious reason. There was a very serious reason in 1988, but meanwhile there hasn't been an absolute necessity for it. So we wait for a time when there is an absolute necessity to do this again. We just don't do it for convenience's sake. And I hope that the faithful are edified by this. I mean, just look at how respectful the SSPX has been in not consecrating more bishops all this time. And the bishops we have have just been flying around and around and around the world over and over again, going to all these different chapels around the world to give confirmations or to do ordination ceremonies. And we haven't sort of relieved their burden by just making more bishops, just to make it more convenient. I do think that this clearly shows that the SSPX does not have a schismatic mentality, wants to show respect to the Pope, that takes the consecration of bishops very seriously. So what about now that Bishop Tissier has died? Will there be more bishops consecrated? How will it take place? Well, this decision is way beyond my pay grade. It's not my decision. I don't have any inside information to give to you today. Certainly, it will have to happen sometime in the future. I can definitely say that. But I don't know when it's going to happen. The decision is in the hands of our superiors. Father Pagliarani, our Superior General, at the funeral of Bishop Tissier, which took place this past Friday, he said to the members of the society who were gathered there, he said, well, what is our state of mind right now? He says, well, we're in a state of calm. We're in a state of prayer. We're praying, but we're at peace because of the fact that he said that Providence has given very evident signs of its care for the SSPX over the decades, and we fully trust that Providence will take care of us in the future. Definitely, consecrations will have to take place, but it's not something that's going to be rushed. We're not going to press the panic button say, well, it has to be done right away. He said it's going to take some time. And you think of the time before the consecration of the four bishops in 1988, where you had this situation. Archbishop Lefebvre, he turned 80 in 1985. He was 80 years old. And already then, he was thinking about, well, I'm getting older. I probably should provide bishops for the SSPX, for my priestly congregation. But there was only one bishop. He was the only bishop around. And I mean, if he had died, that would have been it. So it was another 3 years before he consecrated. But he was still doing a bit of traveling. At a certain point, he decided, well, I'm not going to travel overseas, or I'm not going to travel to the United States, for instance, anymore, or South America anymore. And he was going through these very stressful negotiations with Rome. He was feeling his health weaken. But he did not rush things. He did not say, well, you know, let's just do this right away just to be safe. But he took his time to discern the path of providence, to discern the will of God. He was always like that. And trusting that the providence would show him the way, show him the right moment to do the consecrations. And this is exactly what happened. He didn't anticipate providence. He waited for the right time, and eventually the bishops were consecrated in 1988. One thing that is certain is that when the time comes, we will follow the example of Archbishop Lefebvre and go to Rome and ask permission once more. We will say, will you give us permission to make more bishops for our priestly fraternity? And if Rome gives permission this time, it will be a very good thing. It will be a blessing. It will be a grace for us. It will be a grace for the traditional movement. Consider that the ordination of a truly traditional bishop has not been approved by Rome more or less since the council. The Fraternity of St. Peter hasn't been given a bishop. The Institute of Christ the King hasn't been given a bishop. So we have had bishops who have come to tradition, but as far as sort of a card-carrying traditional Catholic priest has never been appointed by Rome to be named a bishop. since the council. What do they say? We give permission for this traditional priest to be consecrated a bishop because of the fact that Rome doesn't like tradition. Rome doesn't want tradition. That's very obvious. So if it happened, people would see the permission as a certain approval of traditional Catholicism, and it would make traditional Catholicism appear in a better light. Not only that, it would be a certain act of justice, I think, towards the SSPX, a certain atonement for 1988, when they should have given the Archbishop permission to consecrate the bishop, but they did not. For them to give that permission now would be a certain making up for that mistake in the past. What if Rome, however, does not approve? What if they say no, like they did in 1988? Well, of course, you know, the SSPX would still have to go ahead and consecrate bishops because of the fact that, unfortunately, the situation as it was in 1988 is no different here now in 2024. The situation is still the same. The church still very much has need of the SSPX. It's true that these other organizations, traditional organizations existing, Fraternity of St. Peter, the Institute of Christ the King, but while their existence is new, their existence does not remove the need that souls have for SSPX bishops. These institutes, they don't have their own bishops. They're not allowed to oppose the new mass. They are not allowed to speak against the errors of Vatican II officially, but they're supposed to ignore them or try to find some way of reconciling them with tradition. And of course, they're in a constant fear of being shut down. You might have heard the Fraternity of St. Peter is getting an apostolic visitation very soon. They have these institutes, they have the sword of Damocles hanging over them. Perhaps they think, well, we might be asked to celebrate the new mass on a regular basis, or we might ask to be shut down. It's certainly very clear that Rome is not favorable to tradition. It's not favorable to these traditional institutes. They're just sort of tolerated in the current situation. So as long as Rome does not want tradition, it's very important that there be an organization like the SSPX where there is the freedom to speak about the errors of Vatican II. There's a freedom to speak about the problems with the new mass. There's a freedom to go where the faithful are calling out for the traditional mass. So the SSPX, you know, we go to many places, but these other institutes cannot go because they rely upon the permission of the bishop. But who needs a traditional mass? Everybody needs a traditional mass. Everybody needs traditional sacraments. We get far more requests than we can answer because we just don't have enough priests. But we would wish to go to all these places. But the fact is that we are able to go to a lot of places that these other institutes are not able to go for the faithful who are starving for the traditional mass and sacraments. If, in fact, Rome does not approve of the future consecrations, when it happens, again, I don't know the timing, but if they do not approve, we have to anticipate there will be the same sort of measures taken, that the same sort of response on the part of Rome. They would likely say, well, these bishops are excommunicated, this is a schismatic act, and so on, and the faithful have to be ready for that. It's going to be a bit of a test for the faithful. Again, I pray, and I hope you will pray, that Rome will give permission when the time comes. But also, it's important for you to be ready, that if they don't, it's going to be a little bit of a test. So the SSPX would be condemned again, likely once more be accused of being schismatic, despite the fact that so much respect, I think, has been shown to Rome over the decades for us waiting already 36 years before consecrating bishops. So, my dear faithful, this is certainly an interesting time for us in the Society of St. Pius X. As our Superior General said, it's a time for prayer, for calm, but Providence will certainly take care of us. But we should pray and we should trust in the providence of God. I want to encourage you, especially in this month of the Holy Rosary, to try to pray the rosary well. The way we work, we need motivations to pray well. And this is a very good motivation that we have the situation in the world and the SSPX. We pray to Our Lady, we confide these intentions to Our Lady, and while at the same time fully trusting that she and our Lord will take care of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.